Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 65 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 64 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Cloudy. 62 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 61 degrees.
You're at it nice and early. K8, are you at you?
Forgot that 53 is doing something stupid again, and it was backed up yesterday, and my wife just texted me and said it's backed up past 23 Mile Road, so I'm taking the scenic route in.
Traffic season is a bummer, that's for sure.
The plus side is I can run all the way to North Ave without having to hit any traffic. It's just getting the whole road that's going to be the issue, but I think if I'm this far east, I'll be all right.
Yeah, you should be okay. I mean, I'm sure you'll still hit traffic on North Ave, but it's better than being in bumper-to-bumper 53 traffic.
And it never fails when 53 backs up. People rear-end each other, and so far I have not seen a single vehicle on this road, and I've gone 5 miles, so I think I made the right choice.
Yep, most likely. Does your wife work at a hospital, or is she just at, like, a regular doctor's office, primary care physician or something?
No, she's in a hospital, unfortunately. I don't know how much longer she's going to be at a hospital. She's got, I think, a year left of her master's. I don't know what she's going to do after that, but I know she wants to get off the floor.
What hospital is she at? Obviously, one down away from you guys.
She's at what once was Troy Boma.
Okay, that's a bit of a hike, but not as bad as your drive, I would imagine.
believe how much these trees are affecting my signal. I go behind a big cluster of them, and it gets noisy. No, she's 29 miles from our driveway, and I'm 29 miles from our driveway, so it's the exact same distance.
That's not bad. Yeah, I bet all these trees and then the water on all the leaves is not helping even more. I always laugh because it sounds so silly to say, like, well, the trees affect the signal, but they certainly do.
Well, have you noticed that spot that I always drop out in on 53? Like, it's gotten substantially worse. I don't think it's my gear. I'm pretty sure it's just because the leaves are on the trees now.
Yeah, it does make it worse. I have noticed you get in that spot for that, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it is, and it's worse than it's been. It's interesting.
So are you almost to the office?
Yep, I am about 7 minutes out. I was running a little behind today, so I like to be there 10 minutes early, but I'll be there 5 minutes early.
Tell you what, this weather's not going to motivate anybody.
No, definitely not. But on the plus side, it's before 7 o'clock, it is light out, and it's 64 degrees. So, it's still pretty okay.
True, could be worse. Ironic that I buy a house that I need to fix the yard because of water, and then it rains 5 days a week in the spring. So I can't even get on the equipment to fix the yard.
Yeah, you know, that's spring for you, though. I feel like we always have short-term memory loss when it comes to the rain in the spring and how quick it gets hot and all these silly nuanced weather things. But yeah, man, it's like, it's always like this. I remember when I did a lot of mountain biking, got so excited when the weather would break and then it would rain for a month and a half. And then it was finally June and you could start riding mountain bikes again because the trails were dry.
Yep, I know. Groundhog hunting usually takes place as soon as the weather breaks, but like any other season, like you just said, you get memory loss. I've had seasons where I'm shooting them in March, and now it's almost mid-May, and it is mid-May, and I can't even go because it's always raining. So, patiently awaiting June, where it'll be 90 degrees and probably humid. On the plus side, this should, if we have a wet year, maybe I'll finally have a good duck hunting season, because the last couple of years has been brutal.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I've been reading a lot of stuff that, like, Lake St. Clair is way down depth-wise. All these restaurants and stuff on the lake are freaking out because boats can't get into their docks. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, that's for sure.
Yep. All right, I got to take this call. If I don't talk to you, have a good day. N-A-D-D-F.
Catch up with you later. K-E-R-U-H.
W-A-R-C-Y. Any lively bodies on the road yet this morning?
K-E-R-U-H. I'm just pulling into the office right now. And, I was just on with Dakota, but he took a phone call, so he may be coming back soon. So, hope you have a good day. K-E-R-U-H. I might try to hop on when I get into the office. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'll say that you might shower at 6:30. I'm going to have to take it at about 6 now to keep up with you guys starting earlier and earlier. You guys on these luxury schedules. Okay. Oh, W-8-R-C-Y is here, strip drying, whatever, and, yeah, we'll be listening.
Good morning. 0700 hours. Showers. 62 degrees.
Dakota, are you still on your phone call? Ollie Ollie Action Free. W8RCY. Dakota, you still on the phone? I think somebody just started their car. W8RCY, listening.
W8FU.
Our fearless leader has spoken. Good morning, W8RCY. Anthony's already in the office, and we lost Dakota before 7 o'clock to a phone call.
I see. Who said you're late?
That was me.
Roger. Yes, I am. I upgraded my phone last night, and my phone alarm did not go off. So, some new Samsung UI something, I forget what it's called. Like, you son of a gun. Anywho, so half hour behind. Wonderful.
The only way I'll ever leave Verizon is if I cannot get a phone from Lenovo or Motorola, because those Samsungs are nothing but a headache.
Some sort of AI that wanted to tell you when you're supposed to wake up or something?
I have no idea. Anyhow, Samsungs are the best phones I've ever owned. I mean, I never had a problem with a Motorola. And I've had some good ones, and I have some stinkers, but I consistently have a good user experience and no problems with Samsungs. So you will never convince me that those aren't top shelf phones. But everyone has their own experience, and I imagine yours is pretty expensive in the business you're in. But it was a long time ago as well, so I don't know. I only switched to Samsungs the last three go-rounds, so that's been 10 years, probably easy. And I've had one or two real stinkers, but the biggest stinker of them all, the phone that I will never touch again, and the phone that was horrible, is the Pixel. God, I hated that thing. Couldn't wait to get rid of it.
Yeah, I've only heard horror stories about that thing, and yet I still keep getting upgrade offers, even after I swapped out my six-year-old phone for a refurbished one. My phone went in January, this past January, when I split it. It, you know, got overcharged, and the battery swelled, and it split the case along the side. And I got the same model phone I have with a newer software in it, firmware and everything else, but... the only other phone I ever had when I was working for Verizon were those LG communicators. They flip open like a landscape design, and this is back in the days of mobile web. It wasn't even called, you know, the internet then. But those communicators were nice, and it was like a checkbook. You know, I carry a checkbook wallet, and it's kind of like that, and you can open it up in a portrait mode or landscape mode, and not like razors or anything like that that go full screen, but yeah, that was a nice LG did make a nice product for sure. Is that Lance out there, I heard? Good morning, if that's your name.
Yep, that's Lance. He's just made him a, the LVs are machine washable. We had a few that took a ride through the washing machine and dried them out and turned them on. They were still fine. But, yeah, Sean, I only use Pixels. I've been using only the Google phone since, like, Nexus 4. I just, get tired of waiting for the OEMs to finally get to updating their OSs if they actually decide they're going to. And this was the way to go for me, and I haven't looked back. X had Samsungs, and every time I'd use her phone or try to help her, I couldn't figure it out because I didn't know where they moved the menu item to.
Yeah, the UI is a preference thing, right? You either like it or you don't. So I get that. I'm used to the Samsung UI, so it's seems pretty natural. And they don't bloat it up too badly. So everybody sticks their stuff on there, whether it be the carrier or whoever. Verizon's probably one of the worst for that, putting in bloatware, all their own stuff. Not that it's not useful, some of it is, but it's a lot of it, that's all I'm saying. And I'll tell you what, man, the Google phone, you know, among the things that I just couldn't stand, one thing's a hotspot. It wouldn't tell you who was connected, and you couldn't see what their IP address was. Oh my God, that drove me nuts. You know, playing with all these nodes and stuff like that, using the hotspot. Now, I need to know the IP address. Good luck.
Well, I haven't really experienced that yet because I'm not at that point. But yeah, I could see that. But the one thing, like I say, with my Motorola's and Lenovo gadgets is they're consistent with the system's operation or OS operating system, whatever you want to call it. They're always consistent. And like I said, this phone is now in its original state about 6 or 7 years old, and mine just died. And they sent me a refurbished one, and it's just as good. I don't have to do anything. I didn't have to learn anything, you know, where all the menu items were or anything like that. So that's nice about the consistency. And Lance had me cracking up. I gotta tell some of my people. I never heard that joke that, LGs are, to be washed and dried now or whatever the joke was that you said, because I was laughing so hard. But, yeah, now I know why they went out of the cell phone business. They went into the laundry machine business. They figured they were probably better at that.
Yeah, I think my brother had his phone in his pants pocket or something and went in the laundry and came out and still worked. Well, my mom, she was at the marina and the dog went to go pull on something, to go chase something or whatever, and knocked the phone off her belt clip into the lake, and miraculously we had like a fishnet, and we scooped and scooped and found it. Just got it off, turned it on, and it still worked. But, the Pixels I've always liked, it's Android the way Google intended it, and all the buttons are all the same, and you don't have to change anything, but yeah, the hotspot thing definitely is a pain. It all does is says there's one device connected, and I don't know what the IP is, log in to manage it, because I got this a little to connect to the hotspot, but I can't use it to connect to my Wi-Fi or whatever. I've had that stand a few times. Anyway, what's up?
Yeah, I had other problems with my Google that, the Bluetooth. It absolutely had the most atrocious Bluetooth stack I've ever encountered.
It just did not gracefully handle transitioning from car to headset to, you know, this, that, and the other. And it would get lost in limbo, and the only thing you could do to correct things is you have to reboot. And this happened on multiple phones several different times, so I concluded it was just the way they had implemented the Bluetooth in the phone. I've never had a single issue with my Samsungs. You know, I get in car A, connects right up, I get out, goes connected up to the headset, I take a phone call, you know, the music stops, I take the phone call, I hang up, the music starts. Google just, you know, it was just a crapshoot, and, you know, never worked. It would get lost in limbo, and that was another one that just drove me up the wall.
Yeah, a big thing with me in my time working for Verizon and using either a Motorola phone, the old StarTax, back in analog, we were still analog, and then we started getting into things like Bluetooth and stuff. I guess that's just the early technology from like 2002, 2006 maybe, somewhere in there. The technology was just starting to break, and connectivity was one problem, but another problem is I always have a habit of wearing my radio when I'm working and racing now is right over my right hip, my right rear pocket. And my cell phone would be in the small of my back, and got a Bluetooth earpiece in my right ear, and it just wouldn't connect. It just, every time I put that phone back there, it would just not connect. And the only way I could make it connect was move my phone to my front of my hip by my pants pocket or belt buckle. It's like, okay, what's the difference? I mean, and I was heavier then. I'm thinking I just must be my mass blocking it, but yeah. I totally agree. The connections on some of the Verizon phones I've had, when you go from car to, you know, a different vehicle, or you're moving around, or whatever the case may be, that transitioning from one method to the other was really, really bad. And that was on my experience with Motorola's and LG's back in the day. Because I was with this Verizon from 2000 through 2014.
You must be in the no man's land. You're starting to get pretty shaky. So, anywho, didn't quite catch that. And Donald, I wouldn't count anything that old. Bluetooth, you know, like you said, those were the earlier days, and they were all working things out. I remember I had an iPhone that drove me up the wall because you couldn't be talking on the phone and use it to pay with the Starbucks app. You know, I know it's a minor thing, but it's like, it's also a minor thing, you know, and those are the things that most annoy you. There were other things about the whole iPhone experience I could go on about that I didn't care for. As much as I liked about it, and I've got an iPhone right now, and, you know, there's some, you know, it's okay, but there's a lot not to like for an Android user, but that was one. And again, those were early days, and I heard that was more carrier-related than it was the provider, but... You know, none of the phones from Verizon did that. I could be talking on the phone. I could bring up the app, and I could pay at the window, and then never lose my call, you know. I remember I used to talk to somebody on the way into work on the phone in the mornings, and I'd have to hang up, pay for my coffee, and then call them back. I'm like, Jesus. But I don't count things from, you know, that was quite a while ago, and they've got most all that stuff all worked out by now. So, yeah, Bluetooth was flaky for everybody. But in the last 5 years, there's no excuse for, you know, improperly implemented Bluetooth. I just don't understand why they can't get that right. You know, those are certain fundamentals, right? No, but I liked Motorola's. I really did. I liked Motorola Razors and all that when I was with Verizon. And I don't know if I had any LGs or not. I don't know. I mean, hell, I liked a lot of my phones. I liked the Blackberries, the Kyoceras, the Nokias. Remember the little candy bar Nokias? I really liked that little guy, the little tiny one. It was like 4 digits, 8290 or something, 82. I forget what the number was. That was cool back in the pre-smartphone days. One of my favorite phones of all time was a Blackberry that didn't have a keyboard. Forget what model it was. That thing was cool as hell. I jailbroke it, and I was sideloading all my own stuff on it. So I'm pretty flexible. The HTC One, that was a Sprint phone. One of the first 4G, the first 4G phone. Hold on. I love that phone. That was a great phone, HTC's. But, yeah, so I'm not picky, but I do like my Samsungs. I really do. And the only phone that I wouldn't buy again would be a Pixel. So, and a lot of people love them. So, I'm, you know, my experience just must be, well, I know it's not unique because I've verified it with a lot of other people, but it just must not be important to people, the things that I found to be drive me up the wall. So, Lance, you back with us? We're copying you. You do sound better, but you're still a little choppy, but we'll give you a chance. Go ahead. Now, I didn't quite catch all that, so we'll give you a few more miles or a few more feet, whichever comes first. Sean, Joe works in real estate. She flips houses for Keller Williams. And all of her office is equipped with Apple products. Macs, you know, all their computers, all their employee stuff is all Apple. And she just hates it. She despises it. She says, I thought you didn't like Apple. I said, I don't. That's part of the reason why I got out of the cell phone business. She goes, I hate this even more. I said, are you going to quit your job? She goes, no, I kind of need the job, but, you know, when she's done with work and she can get back on her Android, she's a happy camper for sure. And LGs, when they were launched in about 2001, 2002, when Mark Hackle was sheriff over in Macomb County, we distributed about 15 or 16 phones to him, and I actually went out there and delivered to him his office and his two secretaries. I remember he had two girls working with him in his office there at the sheriff's department. I, you know, hung out with them for a while, and then we installed the ProFit kit in his company car, and came out to the old Shores location there at 10 and a half at Harper, by Ride Perfection Center, not the new one down by Stevens. So. Yeah, those LGs were nice in the beginning, but they had those, flip phones that were like the biggest one they made was about the size of my checkbook, and the smallest one they made was about the size of a king-size Snickers bar. But they were pretty cool with the technology with those. Go ahead. Actually, not at all. So, we'll keep the light on. I'm a few minutes off, so I'll be in here for a couple more go rounds as you come out of the hills there. So,
I do kind of remember those horizontal flip-open phones with the big QWERTY keypads, and I think I even had one, but it's not leaving a lasting mark. I've had so many phones. I've had all sorts of crazy phones, you know, back when, you know, the smartphones were just starting to make their appearance, and, you know, there was bits and pieces, you know. The current phone didn't show up like it is now. It was piecemeal to this point. And I've had them all along the way. Crazy stuff. But nowadays, it's a cookie cutter model. It's just a matter of whether you like this UI or not. They're all pretty much the same. I mean, the Androids and then the iPhones are all the same, too. So I think the iPhone's a great product. I think it is. But it is really a departure, you know, from Android. And you got to like it, you know, or not, for what it is. And, you know, they're similarly weird quirks and things you can't do and stuff. I wouldn't tolerate it. You know, it's like, I mean, I don't pay all this money for a device to be irritated by silly things, and there's just a lot of things iPhones irritate me about. You know, they're nice. They used to be unique. Now not so much. Their construction was really, really fine. I remember back in the 4 or 5, you know, iPhone 4, iPhone 5 days, they were, now they look like anything else. You know, it's just really the UI is different, so. And, you know, still rather limiting. And I just don't have time for all that. But they got a huge dedicated following, that's for sure. PP.
You think you chopped yourself off. One way all I heard was PP, so I'm guessing it's you. Go ahead. W8RCY for identification.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, Sean, I lost the lottery. I couldn't believe it, but I did. I am still in HKBP. The movie about the BlackBerry, you guys were talking about BlackBerry earlier in the conversation. Did you ever watch the movie about that? It's absolutely a fantastic story. It's worth watching. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, let's see if you get the rotation correct. It was going me, Donald, Lance, so we'll slip you in just ahead of me, I guess. I think I know the one you're talking about. I think I started watching it, but I have not watched it. But I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to revisit it. I've heard that. That's not the first time I heard it. And I don't understand that. It was clearly written assigned to you. Clearly. And the other two contenders had gotten other calls. So there were three people going for it. The other two got assigned something else. And it said you were getting assigned that call. How in the hell did that not happen when it comes back around? That's nuts. I don't get that. Donald, then over to Lance.
Well, in my history of the cell phone business, I remember the movie that came out, you know, about Steve Jobs and Apple and all that, and the story there. But I never heard of one about BlackBerry, so boy, when you come back around, tell me what year that was about, because I never heard of that movie. Or the story behind, I guess like you said, it was the story behind BlackBerry, but that would be a new one for me. Let's give Lance a shot again. One more shot. Lance, you out there?
Building and see what happens.
know how rich they are.
Let's see if I got it now that I understand the trail. Yeah, the movie was made in 2023, so it's a fairly new movie. If you guys are into this stuff a little bit, it's worth watching. And, you know, surprisingly, BlackBerry did not get, I won't tell you the plot, but BlackBerry did not get destroyed or finished by Apple or Samsung or Android or any of the other people. They did it themselves. You gotta watch the movie. It's unbelievable. I won't tell you guys how they did it, but they did it themselves. They ruined themselves because it was the only phone that was approved for government use. It was the only phone that the presidents were allowed to use. They actually were able to do some version of that trunking that Sean talks about, you know, that they do with the professional systems. They actually told the wireless carriers how to do it, and they started doing it. And they hacked into the wireless carriers' systems and started doing that kind of stuff. It was just an amazing story. And then they did a few things and ruined themselves. And I think it's Sean's turn, N8KPP.
No comment on that call sign thing?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what happened, although it just said dismissed
hours.
And dismissed. And that one guy in Monroe, Ohio, got it. So I have no idea why. It showed like a 3 or 4% chance. He had like numerous call signs from the way I could track it back. And I got my information right from the ULF FCC website. I haven't received a letter yet that said, sorry, Sam, but... mine says dismissed, and his says approved, and his other call sign now says voided or something like that. So I don't know what happened, John. I don't understand this. One of these days we're going to have to talk about this, and maybe you got a better insight about what I'm doing wrong or if I just have bad luck. Go ahead.
Well, I know of absolutely nothing you could do to increase your chances except for make sure you're in for something on the very first day it's available. If you're on the second day it's available, you won't get it. There's not supposed to be any favoritism for time of day. So, you know, if you get yours in at 12:01. You don't have any advantage over somebody that gets theirs in at 11:59. So I've been told. You know, is that true? I don't know. I heard that anybody on the given day is equally, you know, likely. There's no favoritism. So that's all you can do. Just get in on day one. But I just don't understand. You were predicted to win that one, and how could they be that wrong? You know, I'd like to read up on that. All right, I got to jump out, get some gas. I will be listening. Probably be able to jump back in.
Well, I got my license in August, and it was AF8DXS, and I said, I got to get rid of this. And that's when Dave, KF8S, suggested, you know, for vanity, just make it, you know, a portion of my GMRS call sign, which I did. So I went from WRCY 565 to W8RCY. And it was available, but it was still, I guess what it was is that the person who owned it passed away, but his license was still active and they didn't take it out of the system. It got taken out of the system. I got it. I'm in business. Well, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I finally registered with QRZ, the directory thing, and it was with an email to somebody with the first name of Rachel. And last name starts with a Y, so it was probably this person's initial. I don't know, but the person's name was that. It's like, well, how can my call sign not be legit if I've had it since September? And something's not right here. And they
QRZ did the investigating and got it all straightened out, but I mean, that was 6 months after, or not, what, maybe 5 months after I got the call sign in September, that now they're saying it's not mine. So there's some stuff going on. I mean, I don't know about the call sign you wanted or anything, that's none of my business, but, you know, it's like Sean says, if you're in a lottery for it and it's pretty much a lock, and then it's not yours, something's just not right and it's not fair, and I would be a little bit bothered by that. Hope you are able to get it straightened out.
Yeah, getting extra call signs right now is quite a challenge, I guess. But, you got to get the first day, and as far as predictions, I don't know what they're predicting, because it's all random numbers. That's why the wait time is so long.
Okay, I'll call you. I'll give you a few minutes then when we're all done here doing roundtable stuff. But, yeah, like I say, I've watched these things, how they go in. My history with radio is mainly with GMRS because I've been on it for so long. And then when I started doing this spreadsheet thing that I have, you see the sequence of how these call signs, especially, like I said, with my experience on the GMRS site, come out. And they almost come out in sequential order. Maybe a little bit in the numbers, but the letters are always consistent, you know, because you hear all of, you know, I started with WRCY in 2019, and now we're up to WSH something, G, I think, or I, WSHI is where they're at now, and that's, what, five, almost 6 years have gone by, so yeah, I get it. Is Sean still pumping? Yeah.
The call signs are sequential unless they're already taken, so they're amateur. Anyway, I am going into work here, so I will say 7-3-8.
Yeah, have fun at work. NHKPP. So, yeah, but back on this movie thing, Don, you were in the cell phone business for a while. You got to watch it. It is just fantastic. I mean, these guys were on top of the world, and it just, you know, like I said, I don't want to give the plot away, but it's just amazing how anybody could screw up so bad, you know, when they had the world by their asses. I mean, even, like I said, the two big powerhouses that were right behind him, Apple and Android System, you know, they weren't even scared of them, and they didn't have to be, because basically what's a cell phone nowadays, it's a data machine. It's not really a phone anymore. It's more of a data machine, and they had the world licked by data.
Yeah. Yeah, let me finish that thought and let Sean get back in there. As we were talking about the BlackBerry, for me, my experience with them was in the mid-2000s, like 2005 through 2007, and I had one, because in that time I had my own cell phone store out by Red Coat Tavern in Woodward, now a T-Mobile store. But, yeah, I remember BlackBerrys being the choice of government work for their security history. I mean, you know, that's why they call them crackberries. You couldn't crack them. You couldn't do anything with them. They were so security, ridden and stuff like that. But, like I said, I didn't know the whole story as to why they disappeared, and maybe this movie will help me with that and understand it. I appreciate the information. Sean, you back with us?
Yeah, but I just walked in the shop, so I got to get to it.
Get to it. Okay, I'm going to. Don, give me a phone call. NAKPP. He had a tip down to say his call and wait for your phone call.
W8RCY. NAKPP from W8RCY.
Good morning, 0900 hours, cloudy, 65 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours, mostly cloudy, 66 degrees.
All right, Jim, we'll talk to you soon. I'm going to send you a text in a little bit about Saturday. Take you for GOQ.
This is KQ4OQQ. Clear and standing by.
Good morning, 1100 hours, cloudy, 69 degrees.
8KBP.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Cloudy. 69 degrees.
NAKPP from W8FU. NHKPP.
Are you sure they just weren't pulling your leg?
I know I was busy at a client. Why has things changed?
No, I just find it hard. Hard to grasp how that showed you clearly getting awarded for it to do a 180 like that. It's puzzling.
Yeah, I don't get it. So I was searching around and everything else this morning, and I couldn't find any air. You know, I looked for it all. It went through all of the things, red light, paid, all the other things, and then it just said whatever it said, discontinued, whatever. But that was it.
Oh, I'm sure you didn't do nothing wrong. You know, just the fact that you were, you know, contending. So, I don't know if you had that one in there that said duplicate or something like that, or too early or something like that. Don't do that. You know, you definitely don't want to do that. I don't know if that counts against. I doubt it, as long as you get one in on the proper date. But, yeah, just a bummer. You know, what I'll attribute it to? The perfect one's coming. And, you know, that's why.
Yeah, I hope so. So, but you know what? The other thing that doesn't make sense is, like, usually I get an email that morning that said denied or canceled or whatever it used to say. I haven't got an email yet for that. So that's the one thing that I think is kind of different in this particular case. Why haven't I gotten a denied letter yet?
But you're saying it shows awarded on ULS, right? I mean, that's not monkeying around. You sure it's just not the old holder that's showing up in ULS? You sure it's one of the contenders?
No, it shows the guy got the new license today. It shows today's date, 5/13 or whatever.
Yeah, crazy. All right, let me transition back into the shop. I'll be back in a few. W8FU.
Okay, I'll probably be gone. I'm going to go have lunch with one of the guys I work with. He wants to talk. So I can't wait to hear what this is about. So I'll chat later. NAKPP.
It's never cake and ice cream.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Cloudy. 72 degrees.
Tech, WSID 817.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 73 degrees.
Radio Tech, you're not on GMRS. This is amateur radio frequencies. Please go somewhere else. WIM.
I thought I was hearing things. W8RCY. Glad you caught that. Thank you for letting him know.
KKBSI Mobile.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 71 degrees.
W4XED, this is W3LNS.
W3LNS, W4XED, I'm about not even 5 minutes away. All done with your conference?
Yeah, I got it short.
I think I'm going to be running that control for the ARPSC tonight at 7 o'clock, if you want to sit in on it.
I have another conference at 8, but I might join you for a little while.
K8, are you late?
Yeah, it won't take long, maybe 10 minutes at most.
Sounds good. See you when you get here, 88.
W4XED, listening.
W3LNS out.
KKKL.
KE8VSI, what's up?
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 70 degrees.
Back on the line.
Everybody check your spawn.
Not mine. KE8TFM.
Definitely not mine. Even granted. KCHKJO.
It's from Romeo.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. WAFU.
Good afternoon. Just making my trek home from the west side. I'm driving through Bloomfield Repeater, and at some point I'll switch over to Warren.
When you say west side, do you say west side, eat inside a little bit and flash signals? You know, do that thing with your hand. Anyhow, go ahead, Tom, pass over to Donald. I guess not. Anywho, so do you think a little bit west Saeed?
Yeah, Livonia's not that west Saeed. Yeah, no, I was at the office in Livonia, and but with 696 closed, they basically got to take M5 to Pontiac Trail, Pontiac Trail to Orchard Lake, Orchard Lake to M59, and then M59 to Van Dyke, and then to my house. So, yeah, it's a pretty slow drive. It usually takes me an hour and a half for getting home, an hour to get there with no detours.
W8RCY, were you referring to me, Sean? Because I did not join this conversation just yet.
Oh, I thought you were the one that jumped in and said it's on Romeo. Never mind. But, or feel free, whichever. But, yeah, so that's an hour and a half, man. I mean, it'd be an hour anyhow, right? So just a little extra. I used to have to run from Warren to Livonia, and it was, you know, it was all the way. It was south of 96 at, like, Newburgh. So, you know, I mean, all of Livonia. And I remember not enjoying that, although I was a lot closer because I started at Warren. So I would hop on 696, and I generally would drop 75 to Davison, run Davison all the way across, including the surface part.
Yeah, when I lived in Warren, I would make that trip, but yeah, it wasn't too bad. I was pretty close to 8 Mile, and I would just shoot that straight down, and it was the most optimal route. But yeah, this construction definitely for the way home, it definitely threw a delay in there, but it's not too bad. I mean, the traffic pretty much moves, not stressful at all, so not too bad. So yeah. Anyway, how's everything going? I think I heard you guys over the weekend, you had some repeater work or something to do, or what were you guys playing with?
Well, I got a laundry list of, things, and it all depends on, you know, where I can slip this one in or that one in, and so I didn't have any time last week. I thought I was going to have some time. I didn't have any time at all to do anything. Had a guy retire. I should have figured that was going to gobble up a great deal of time. And so I said, you know what, Saturday I don't have anything specifically planned. The grass is cut, you know, this, that, and the other. I think I'll have breakfast with the boys and then go try to knock a couple of things off the list. And Tom and Wally joined me. So we knocked out, I got the 675 back on the air. I needed the Quantar because, I threw the Quantar up there because I had it. And so, but I always knew it was, you know, no way I was going to leave a Quantar in the GMRS service. So, it was finally, because I got that P25 allocation, I now need it. So the goal was to get the backup Kenwood repeater up there in GMRS's place, including all the All-Star interfacing and all that. Wanted to do up an extension cable for the GPS for the RTCM is for the MECA, and that requires, you know, a lot of running cable and making the cable suck. You can ask Tom about that. And then I was hoping to get the new P25 machine at least underway, but that didn't work out. But I've made some progress on that since then, and we'll see. But just plugging away. I've still got a dozen things on my list, you know, whenever the time arises. But I feel that was an accomplishment. We got plenty done running that cable and getting that Kenwood redeployed.
My finger still hurts from that.
Saturday I was out on the boat for the day. I finally was able to get out. I caught a couple fish, but we enjoyed it. We're basically out there from 8 a.m. to about 5:30 or so. So we had a good time. What are you running? The only word I caught out of that was Pontiac. It's just all kind of crackly noise, and so remember where you're at, and you know what you're running, and which machine you're on, and I'd be curious to see where you're at for that kind of signal. For what it's worth, the 2.5 will probably hear you really, really well. Just the PA is you can't hear it. I know Phil runs around sometimes listening to the 2.6, talking to the 2.5. So just FYI. Anyhow, Tom.
Good evening. I didn't mean to fall off the face here, but I got a phone call just as the round table started. TCKJO, of course. But how's that cable working? Is it working okay? No problems with it?
Well, I haven't heard I haven't heard that at all, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay, that wasn't my best work. I wasn't a fan of that cable. It kept breaking on me. That's what was frustrating. Thank goodness he had extra footage on me.
Yeah, that'll go down as some of the worst cable I've ever worked with. Terrible stuff. Anyhow, Davian, are you in a better situation? You in any better situation now? You were a little rough there. I'm wondering if you're coming out of Pontiac and a little better shot now. I switched back to the.
Now I'm on Bloomfield, so I'm at M59 in Williams, just ready to go into Pontiac, and I started losing everything at Telegraph and Orchard Lake on both Warren and Bloomfield.
Right, but you're rock solid into West Bloomfield. His receiver's working great, just the transmitter's dead. So that's why you can't hear that. You're already better into Warren. And that's getting to the point out there where it's just not great. With the foliage coming back on the trees, it's been a little bit more pronounced lately. So what are you gonna do? That's a long haul. But Phil's machine normally covers that really well. And he's kind of beside himself because that thing has been kicking his ass for about the last 2 years now. If it ain't one thing, it's another. They're like troubled children. But it was basically like from one day to the next, Bloomfield got bad on the reception side. Just exiting Pontiac, Bloomfield worked perfect almost all the way out to M5. But then it got real bad from like one day to the next, about a month ago, I think. 88 CFM.
Yeah, that matches the... Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I'm sitting on the Warren, and I'm at south in Dequindre. So I'm right over here by Beaumont, and you guys are going to be pretty solid. But if you try the Mount Clemens, I see that one's chirping off right now also. So if he's right on Hall Road, he should be able to hit that.
I think he's on 59, but he's the other side of Pontiac, so he's got a little ways before that one's going to be in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, Mike Clemens works great in my house, but, Warren is generally, as soon as I get on M59, which I'm getting on now, Warren tends to be the option, and Mount Clemens is good once I cross, like, the corner. It's just damn good. Better than Warren.
Yeah, I like link repeaters for extending range, but you know what's better? One ginormous repeater. I should just get simulcast the 2.6. Just put it up all over the place and just not linked to nothing, just the 2.6 everywhere. One repeater to rule them all. No linking, no nothing.
I'm sure I could talk to some key people in my neck of the woods, and I'm sure there's space somewhere within that vicinity.
Seems like the in the city of Pontiac, I don't know what the name of that building is, but I think it's vacant for the most part. But the tallest building there in Pontiac, that one has quite a few antennas on it. It looks like it would be an awesome location for coverage.
Yeah, there's three potential buildings down there, and I know the rooftop management at two of them, and I've been talking to them. The third one, I actually, is the only one I've ever had equipment on, so go figure. And but I don't currently know anybody there. I don't even know who owns the damn thing. So I wouldn't mind, but it's just, with all these projects and everything, it's one of those get-around-to-its. I got another one. I got another couple, actually, that I'm trying to get around to it, but, man, round to it's are getting scarce. Just don't have that many.
I lost mine somewhere in a box when I moved from Marysville to where I live now, so I haven't been able to find it since.
Yeah, I know what you're saying about the get-to-it. It's hard. And then especially your get-to-it, it's not like everybody can get to the tops of roofs to do these things. So I think the people that can are becoming more and more scared by having them in the network, I'd say. But yeah, Pontiac would be a great call. That would be a great location, I think. And just pretty good coverage going north as well, too. So, well, hopefully that to-do comes up at some point in the next few years. But it's almost there. I think if Bloomfield could get figured out, I think that would take care of a lot. I mean, it bridged the gap perfectly for me. And, yeah, whatever it was that happened,
But, yeah, he's going to Dayton this weekend, and I think he's taking some equipment down, and he's going to have his eye peeled for either a Quantar or an MTR or even an SLR. Keep his eye peeled. If he comes up with one of them, he'll be golden for the long haul. So, although that Kenwood he had, was pretty trouble-free until it wasn't. You know, then once he started having problems, it just seemed like everything just started going to hell in a handbasket, so it's not like it was a terrible machine. He's got a little backup, Kenwood. I've got one, too, and mine was always just kind of like, you know, sitting around waiting for a need, a place to use it, and that's what I ended up putting in place for the GMRS. Now I got to come up with something. I got something I want to do down by Anthony, but I'm kind of. Anthony actually gave me an ICOM repeater. I'm gonna probably do that one up, and then dump that in Anthony's neighborhood. That'll teach him to give me a repeater.
So with all the talk I've been hearing about the P25, like how long before I have to figure out what that is and how I talk on it? Because I hear everyone chattering about it, but I haven't dug into it yet.
Shall I take it, Tom?
Yeah, take it away. I got to jump off for a second, but I'll be back. KGO. Sorry, guys.
Okie doke. So, yeah, so, you know, when P25 was a thing, it was a thing. I mean, it was, we kept it warm, as Lance says. We had some fun with it. And then the network fell apart. And, you know, I thought I would be getting it back online short order. The repeaters worked in P25 mode, standalone, for until just recently. Until some of my most recent changes. So it's not like it was gone, but it's like, well, what's the point of that? You know, just the standalone P25 repeater. And, yeah, so I got another one going in. And in fact, I got the thing all up pretty, I got it 90%, now, 80, let's call it 80% done. I was talking on it yesterday and today a little bit. It's in the shop on a dummy load. Right now I want to make absolutely sure the networking portion is done. I got to go through it. And once I'm certain that the networking is not going to be an issue and that, I may have that thing up online this week still, because there's really nothing keeping me. Everything's there waiting for it. I just drop it right in where the previous 2.6 was and away it goes. And then I got a receiver. I got a satellite receiver that I'm going to probably put in Mount Clemens for it. So now, what do you got to do? Just wait and watch. You know, I wouldn't rush out to do anything. It's a niche thing, and radio elitists use it. So we welcome you to that club if you want. But I wouldn't rush yet. You know, I've never felt that P25 was a viable option for most amps. I love the hell out of it, I can't wait to get it up and running again. But, you know, in a bit, we'll see.
What kind of radios do you need to talk on?
Motorola, Kenwood, Johnson, they all sold radios that did it. The Johnsons, can be, I bought a Johnson P25 radio for like $10 once. Well, actually, Dan, WP2PT did. Maybe it was $20. And, you know, it was kind of a, kind of, sort of, Motorola clone. Then there's older Motorolas that can be had anywhere from, you know, $50, $100 on up to, you know, a couple of hundred. Usually a pretty nice one. The ones that are kind of like the sweet spot are in the twos. There's the Motorola XTS 5000 and the XTL 5000. Those are great radios. There's some others, but mostly they're old Motorolas. But like I said, there's some Kenwoods as well. But we pretty much everybody runs Motorolas up there.
So what differentiates P25 from a DMR? Wider bandwidth, or is it just something similar but, you know, different codec or something?
Yeah, it's similar to C4FM Fusion. It's not, but it's very similar. It uses a you know, better codecs and a wider bandwidth than D-Star or DMR and Fusion. Well, Fusion Wide. It's like Fusion Wide. So it's the best, bar none. It's the best sounding of the digital modes. And you know, and then in the professional applications, you know, we have error correction and some other stuff going on that makes it even, you know, even better. But it's very good. It sounds very good. And you know, I would say the closest thing technology-wise to it would be like Fusion Wide.
Now, isn't there an active P25 repeater that's out there right now? I know I got something programmed in my radio that I always see activity on, but I can't hear it with any radios, and I just made the assumption it was P25, but I could be wrong. I can't remember what it was, though.
Currently, there is a relatively healthy network of VHF P25 repeaters throughout the state. Most major cities have a pretty high-profile P25 machine. Grand Rapids, Flint, Lansing, I think. I'd have to go look at the list. And then TJ has one in Detroit. Cascade LTS has one in Detroit with a receiver in Mount Clemens. So, but those are all VHF. And, you know, mine were all UHF. There was a time I thought all of mine were going to be mixed mode. All my repeaters would be Richmond, Romeo, Warren. They'd all be mixed mode P25. But the more I thought about it, and the more popular All-Star got and the FBI network got, the more I thought, better off segregating it, you know, because you're either going to piss off the analog people when it's running digital, or you're going to piss off the digital people when it's analog. So I figure it's just best to keep them separate. But there's nothing else in the area besides the VHF 14733 in Detroit currently. Go ahead, SZT, I think it was.
Yeah, just kind of, man, I was listening. Is K9 DPD, the P25 UHF, is that no longer on the air? That used to be a great one on the Renaissance building.
Yeah, Donut Dave never really had a P25 machine. I think he had a multi-mode MMDVM machine that I think maybe he had P25 lit up on it for a bit. But no, that machine, I believe, is down. It's been down for some time. I don't know if anybody's got that program. It was kind of short-lived.
Yeah, I've got a Johnson 5100 in UHF, and then I've got a VHF 5000. So, yeah, I'll be waiting All right, I'll let you guys go. I'm on 75 here, chucking along. Casey, it is the chief.
All righty, well, you'll be good to go. Like I said, well, TJ's machine is running down there right now, so, you know, your VHF is functional, and UHF should be back online pretty soon. It'll be 442-0125, max 293, so that one will be soon up. And on my way home here, it's been looking like I should be driving into a storm at any moment, and now I'm at M59 a mound, and I still haven't seen the storm, but man, it definitely looks like it's storming further east. So, yeah, it looks like something's going to happen here pretty soon. KEA TFM.
W8FU. Yeah, I saw that as I was leaving work. It was over my shoulder the whole way home. I said, man, that looks nasty. And but it never really, well, of course, it looks like it's past us. So, but doesn't look like anything blew through, so it looks like it's developing out over the lake or something or in Canada.
That's good. Hopefully it stays that way. Yeah, tonight after dinner here, I got to go run to Utica High School. They're doing an event for all the honors students and that. So my daughter's getting recognized because her grades have met the threshold to be a part of it. So that's a positive thing. So tonight for that ceremony so she can get her award and that with the other people at Utica High School, so that should be fun. And children's on the 23rd day. It'll be all wrapped up in high school.
WARTY.
Go ahead.
All I see on the radar right now is a counterclockwise spin of scattered rain, and I'm over here in Mad Heights, and there's nothing here coming down at all. So it looks worse than what it does on radar. Radar's just got this blotches everywhere, but circulating counterclockwise from Lake Cleveland and then up north of the Tri-County area. So we're in a lull right here. I'm out. W8RCY.
Alrighty, well, there you have it. I'm just pulling in my driveway, so we'll check that out. That's if I can get my, there we go. I do this little ritual every day when I come home. I got a mailbox out at the end, out at the street, so I pull over to the, the opposite side of the road. It's a dirt road, so it's usually not a problem. Pull my mail out and then swing out and back in my driveway. It's always a little contortion. Anywho, I'm here. It was a pleasure driving with y'all, and we'll catch you a little bit when I get inside. Get comfy. W8FU.
Those jammies on with a pizza bowl and a nice whiskey and kick back, relax.
All right, take it easy. I'll be clear as well. KEA TFM.
Sunday, three guys. Have a great evening. So I couldn't chat more. Phone calls up to Wazoo. Sean knows how that goes. KEA KJL.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, cloudy, 68 degrees.
W8VIJ.
T-Mobile.
Hey, Ray, how you doing? I thought you said you're out here most of the time. I called you a few times. I don't know what times you're out here, but I haven't been able to reach you. I don't know if it's your lunchtime or what the deal is. How you doing?
Yeah, it's been kind of slow at work lately. I haven't been on the road very much. Been working in the shop.
Well, I guess that explains it.
Yeah, they had me driving a different truck for a little while. I had to deliver some bigger equipment that wouldn't fit in mine. So I didn't have my radio in that one.
All right, are you back? Do you have your regular truck back now, or are you still in the office?
Yeah, back in my regular one. I had a hard time hearing this repeater for some reason. I'm just on Walton and Sashabaugh.
Well, I don't know. You're coming in okay, though. No problem. Full quieting into the repeater.
Yeah, that's strange. It's not transmitting like it used to be.
Well, they had some issues. I was talking to Sean, W8FU, and no, maybe it was him or it could have been, what's his name? I'll think of it. But anyway, they explained to me that Phil, I think it was Phil, he told me there were some things that failed over here at the, where the repeater is at that fire station.
Yeah, I noticed that a few weeks back when we had those high winds for a couple of days that it started. I don't know if that's anything to do with it or not.
I don't know. I thought Philly said he solved it, but when I just got my antenna back up, I tested the antenna, and it came back to me to my house because I'm really close to the repeater, and it wasn't a very strong signal. I'm going, oh, come on. I can't believe this. And then I went to another repeater, and it was an issue. I said, there must be something going on. And lo and behold, I did find out. So I'm okay on it then.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I thought I had a radio problem. I was checking my connections and everything and decided to try a couple different ones, and it was fine.
Yeah, just going through the motions, you know. I thought it was rather funny. It was, you know, the time that I got everything hooked up and I thought I'd test it, and then sure enough, I saw that and I'm thinking, wait a minute. So rather than panic, I checked a few other things and I tested myself on Simplex and everything. And I don't think that's the issue. I think something's going on.
Yeah, I just picked up one of those little mini SMA watt meters. It's got a SWR watt meter on it. It does up to 100 watts, but the dummy load that it came with is only a 20 watt. I need to get a bigger dummy load for it. That's pretty handy to have when you want to know if something's going on or not.
Yeah, something happened. You kind of audio cut out or something. When did you pick up a small SMA, I think, watt meter?
Yeah, just one of the little Surecoms from Amazon. It does up to 100 watts, but it only came with a 20-watt dummy load.
Yeah, okay. All right, very good. Well, that's not very good because you'd have to go on low power. I can't remember what the low power setting is on this radio. Back to you.
All right, I'm pulling in my neighborhood. I was trying to figure out what's going on here. There was a truck with carrying some vehicles on it, and they got in the turn lane way ahead of time, and so I went around them, and they're turning where I'm turning. I didn't know they were going to turn where I'm turning, or I would have got behind them. All right, I'll catch you later on. Casey, this is it.
Yeah, have a good evening. W8PIJ, 73.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 70 degrees.
KF8BOT.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 70 degrees.
Hey, baby.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Showers. 68 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours, mostly cloudy, 65 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Cloudy. 65 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Cloudy. 65 degrees.